Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
First Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Verse 8, now the conclusion. Everyone be like-minded, sympathetic, fond of the brotherhood or family of God, compassionate, friendly-minded, not giving back evil in exchange for evil, or insult in exchange for insult, but contrary, be a blessing, knowing that for this you were called, in order that you might inherit a blessing. For the one desiring to love life and to see good days, let him cease his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn from evil and let him do good. Let him seek peace and let him pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are toward their petition, but the face of the Lord is against doing evil. Right there at that last phrase at the end of verse 12, the English translations have tried to make it that the Lord is against those doing evil. But the Greek text specifically emphasizes that it's the doing of evil that he is against, not people. If people happen to be the one doing the evil, then just know that anybody that participates, and we'll study what that is today, anybody that participates in the doing of evil, the Lord will be against them. Please take note that as we go through this text, Peter is trying to emphasize that we who are saved have been born of the Spirit of God. We have been made a new creation in Christ. And once we are saved and we are made a new creation, God's Spirit is in the process of transforming and changing our mind. But he also wants to emphasize the fact that even though God has called us into his administration and to his system of submission, to his purposes in life, that we, just like the non-believer, we can experience the judgment of God. There are two basic principles in Scripture. Number one, in Galatians chapter 6, the principle is you reap what you sow. That doesn't stop just because a person is saved. You reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. Reap the consequences. God has built in to his law consequences for violating his law, whether the person is saved or not. And that's the impression he's trying to get across. If we are involved in doing evil, and again, there's two prominent words for evil in the New Testament. One is poneros, that's the evil of Satan, and kakos, which is the word that's used here in this text. It means to do harm, cause people problems, cause people adversity. It doesn't involve Satan, it involves the flesh. It involves just a Christian functioning in the flesh and causing other people problems. And the one who does that, they are going to find that God is against them. And the second principle is that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The person who is going strong in the flesh and causing difficulty for others will find that God will resist them. God will go against them. That's why I've said many times to you that I believe that when we feel some kind of opposition, then we say all opposition is from Satan. I don't think so. The Bible tells me that even God goes against believers to bring them down because he's against the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so he says, in conclusion to this whole administrative system of his that is in submission, that we actually have been born into. All of a sudden we find ourselves in a system where God says, here's my purpose in my family. And we go, yeah, but that's not the way it is in my family, you know. And God says, no, well, you're in my family now. Well, I have two families. God says, no, you only got one. One family. Now that we're in God's family, there is the word submission. We are to be in an orderly relationship with every human being, no matter who they are or what they are. We are to find out how the Lord wants us to function and relate to that person in Christ, not in our flesh, but in Christ. So he says the conclusion is this, to be like-minded. That is to have the same frame of mind and purpose in everything that you do. Be sympathetic, literally suffer with one another. Be fond of the brotherhood. Have a family affection for the family of God. Compassionate, eusplunknos, has to do with compassion from deep down inside, not a surface human practice that we're supposed to do because we're Christians. It's something that comes from deep down inside. Friendly-minded, having an affectionate or friendly frame of mind, which is what the word literally means. Present participle, be continually not giving back evil in exchange for evil. And again, here's the word kakos. It literally means if you are treated unjustly, if people wrong you, you are not to do the same thing back. Tough. But if we understand that Satan has this earthly realm involved in a destructive process where one person destroys another, destroys another, destroys another, we see it in family lines down through the years. I've seen it in my family down through the years, where one person is in a destructive mode and does abuse and harm to other family members and other friends, and they grow up with that and they continue to practice the same things. And so Satan has people involved in a destructive process, always getting angry at each other. So God's word to us is, in my family, we don't exchange evil for evil. In my family, we are not involved in the destructive process. Stops here. Nor insult for insult. Literally means verbal abuse. If you're verbally abused, do not exchange and give back verbal abuse. The Lord himself was our example in chapter 2, verse 23. Same word used for Jesus. Loidorion, which means verbal abuse. He was verbally abused, but he did not threaten back, but rather he submitted himself to the one who judges righteously. And we are to do this knowing something, that for this you were called. This is your calling, he's saying. You want to know what God's will is for your life? It's verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3. This is his will for our lives. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, that's what we're growing into. It's how God's family functions now. That's why we have difficulty. It's because we're still growing and we're still being changed and we're still being transformed. But just know that this is the reason why we're being changed. It's not just a free ticket to heaven. It's actually to function with God's family here on the earth and be part of his administrative process, which is the testimony to the world. For this you were called, the purpose, in order that you might inherit a blessing. Now, the word for blessing is where we get our English word eulogy from. It means to speak well of. So we're going to see later that he's going to say, when people verbally abuse you, you bless them. Now, that doesn't mean you walk up and kind of give them the sign of the cross and say, bless you, my child, even though you just chewed me out for 15 minutes and verbally abused me, but I'm not going to mention it. You know? No, it means to speak well of people. When people are abusing us, we are to speak well of them. Not to put them down, not to speak back at them and be involved in the destructive process. Now, when God blesses us, when it talks about God blesses us, it means to have a good expression towards us, like us with our children. When our children are minding, we have a good expression towards them. When they're not, then it's discipline. They don't actually, if you go to discipline your child, I don't think they would say that it's a blessing. They would say it's difficult, hard times for parents to resist their children to make them humble. But for this you were called, and the purpose is that you might inherit a blessing. In other words, and we're going to see this next, as we get into this, dictates in verse 9, the dictation of man. The first verse in verse 8 was the disposition of man, what our disposition is to be like. And then there at the end of verse 9, the dictation of man, knowing that for this you were called in order that you might inherit a blessing. The reason why we are to do these things is because of what we know. And if we don't know it, after today we will know it. Why we are to respond this way. It is God's will that his children inherit a blessing. Again, a favorable expression and a response from God. That's our inheritance. But we get caught up in the destructive process here on the earth, and God has to resist us. Now, here is a basic principle from Scripture. We dictate to God what discipline he must do to us. He doesn't just discipline us for nothing. We dictate what he must do. On the other hand, we cannot stop the will of God, but we can dictate what he must do to us to get us in line. Zacharias, as it's pronounced in the Greek in Luke chapter 1, perfect example, the one that I always use. As the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear a child. He says, well, show me something so that I know that what you're telling me is the word of God. Because both my wife and I are well advanced in years and we're beyond the age of bearing children. So basically he's saying, humanly, it's impossible. So prove to me you're giving me the word of God. And Gabriel said, okay, I'll give you what you want. You will be mute and unable to speak until these things happen. Now, in Gabriel's language, he says these things are going to happen. He didn't say, because you don't believe, and then as soon as you believe, then all of a sudden it's going to happen. Zacharias did not affect the will of God. Elizabeth was still going to get pregnant, and the person that we know in history is John the Baptizer. He was going to be born 9 months later, whether Zacharias believed it or not. But Gabriel says, because you did not believe my word, which came from the throne of God, you'll be silent and unable to speak until these things happen. So it's really the other way around. When God's will is fulfilled in the 9-month period when John the Baptizer is born, then his tongue would be loosed. But for that nine-month period, God had him silenced, and he learned by observation, and he learned from the discipline that God placed upon him that after 9 months, then his tongue was loosed, and he began to praise God, and he even prophesied over the child. So Zacharias dictated to God that, I can't believe this. I cannot be a cooperative participant in following your will because I just don't believe it. God says, okay, it was going to happen anyway, but you're dictating to me what I must do to get you to line up with my will. So for this you were called. The purpose, in order that you might inherit a blessing. God says, in your inheritance, to get a favorable expression from God and treatment from God, that's your inheritance. But if you're not going to cooperate and you're not going to be obedient in your response to the Lord, know this, you reap what you sow. I often hear people, other believers, say, how can so-and-so be a believer? It just seems like God just lets them get away with living in the flesh. Or living according to the flesh. Nobody gets away with anything. Even these past couple of weeks, I've been reminded over and over again, and even more so because I still had a little bit left in my mind about success in the world and that some people do get away with it. Nobody gets away with it. There are so many famous athletes that come into big money and they're at the top of their sport game and they're getting millions of dollars and it's ruining them. Because along with a lot of money comes the lifestyle. Wonder how can somebody be one of the greatest athletes in the world and constantly be caught with DUIs, constantly have to get drunk, and constantly have to use drugs? What's the problem? Should be the happiest guy in the world. He's living the dream. Doesn't work that way. You think that Michael Jackson, with all of his money, even after not performing anymore, he just lounge out at the pool and be the happiest guy in the world. Not. Ruined him. Every successful person, every rich person, it ruins them. But why in the world would a Christian think that the blessing of God involves getting more money and more of the world? You know what we're going to do with it. And sometimes God lets us do it. Because through it we'll learn our lesson. Like I've said to you in times past, if it's not God's will, if we go ahead and venture out into the world anyway to acquire the things of the world and it's not Him, you know what's going to happen. God's going to let us get caught in the trap. Go through the stress of trying to support it. Go through the stress of being imprisoned by it. We have two good friends that we've known for years. In fact, the fella did gardening with me when we first moved here to Santa Maria this time. This is my third time here. They haven't kicked me out this time, so I've stayed a little longer. But he came with us, and he helped with the business. And went back to L.A., got married. Booming business, very successful business in Los Angeles. And then to this day, I mean, they bought a home, built a pool, did this, did that. And when the economy went under, stuck with 13 employees, had to let them go, all the stress of can't pay the bill, can't pay the mortgage, have to restructure, And the only thing we heard constantly when being with them is that we just got to get out from underneath all the stress. They're getting rid of cars. They're getting rid of, you know, it's just, it's a trap. What's the purpose in it? Well, then I will really be happy. I will really be on top of the world. No. Doesn't work that way. We dictate to God because God cares for us. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And if you are if you confess to be a child of God and God's not dealing with you, then you're an illegitimate child. Because God's not going to let us just do our own thing. He's going to deal with us. He's going to discipline us. He wants us to inherit a blessing. He wants us to inherit that favorable response. He doesn't want to have to crush us and come down on us, but he will if he has to, because he gives us grace to the humble. But if we think we're self-sufficient, we can do it ourselves and check in with him later. Pity us if God allows that to happen and allows the trap to come back and bite us. The sowing and reaping principle of Galatians chapter 6 is true for everyone, whether a believer or non-believer. We are not immune. As a matter of fact, we experience the discipline of God and the sowing and reaping principle more than a non-believer. They have the built-in principle. They don't know the Lord. They're reaping the consequences of their sin. But we're the children of God. He's on us all the time. That's the principle that he's taught me too. Sometimes we can't just jump in there and discipline our children. God's going to lay on our hearts, let them go. Let them learn the consequences a different way. It might not involve you, which is hard for a parent to do. But God has his ways. Nobody's getting away with anything. We reap what we sow. And God will oppose us, and he will discipline us, and we dictate that. So the disposition of man, the attitude, the frame of mind, is what God wants to change. The frame of mind is the attitude and disposition of how we see life and how we respond to life. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the word mind is the word phroné, frame of mind. I heard a Jewish teacher the other day use that scripture to prove that Christian Gentiles today are supposed to become Jews. Because it says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And he was Jewish. And he thought Jewish. So we need to have a Jewish mind, except they fail to see that it's the frame of mind, and in context, it's the frame of mind, his attitude, and how he approached life. How did he approach this worldly life? His attitude was, I'm here on a mission. I'm here for a purpose. I don't own a home. Live out in the park. Was born in a cave. He took the low road purposely and just bypassed the worldly entrapments and came to die for our sins. He says, have the same mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. Well, how do I do that? I already have a fleshly frame of mind. I already have a fleshly world view. Well, God's changing that. And he'll either change us through the hearing of his word, and then he changes us as we realize and understand the truth. It says, knowing that for this you were called. I can't change myself, but I can know what God's doing. This is God's will for my life, and that's not who I am, but it's what God wants me to be. But God help us if it's not the first, and I'd rather go through the first and just have God's Spirit change me through the hearing of his word, than to know that it's true and go the opposite way and then 20 years down the road say, oops, I'm reaping the consequences. And you don't know how many Christians actually are crying out to God for relief from the consequences, and God says, nope, you got to experience the consequences. That's how you're going to learn. Sometimes it goes on for years. Can't expect to disobey God for 20 years and then expect him to relieve us when we cry out to him. He wants the lasting impression and not have to put us through another 20 years because he gave us relief and we're going to do it all over again. Doesn't work that way. So the disposition of man, what God's will wants us to be, but the dictation of man is that we dictate to God whether it will be a blessing or discipline. And this is all based on the declaration of God, verses 10 to 12. This is a quote from Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. This is proof to us about this principle of sowing and reaping. Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. Here's what it says. For the one desiring, notice that present participle. This is the word for will. For the person whose will continuously desires two things. To love life. The word love is agapao, verb form of agape. To love life. The word life is the word used by Jesus when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Zoe has nothing to do with existence. Life isn't the physical world that we live in. Life is Christ. To love life, do you really want to experience life? Do you really love life, experiencing Christ? And to see good days. The word good is agathos. Again, two words for good, just like there are two words for evil. This is the word for spiritual good. You want to see good days in the Lord. You want to, if you love, to experience the very life of Christ. And here are five things, five commands. Let his tongue cease from evil. And again, the word evil has to do with harm or adversity. Let his tongue cease from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We saw that in James chapter 3, that the tongue is a little member in the body, and yet a little fire can set a forest on fire. A little campfire can just, we've seen just recently where thousands of acres can burn just because of a welder's spark that can ignite the brush. A little tiny spark can just burn down almost a whole forest or whole mountainside. So the tongue, James says, is a little member. With it, we bless God and we destroy people. And this ought not to be so. Seeking the Lord's guidance over our tongue. Let it cease from being injurious or causing adversity, and his lips from speaking deceit. Secondly, let him turn from evil. Again, the word evil is the word injurious, injustice, harm, adversity. Thirdly, and let him do good. And again, this word for good is the spiritual good, agathos. Not the human good, but the spiritual good. So let him turn from the evil, but let him do the good. Fourthly, let him seek peace. Fifthly, and let him pursue it. So don't just wish that you could be at peace with people. Pursue it. Don't pursue retaliation. Don't pursue the destructive process. Don't pursue the payback. But rather pursue peace. The word peace, eirene, in Greek, has to do with oneness, has to do with unity. Obviously, when two countries are opposed to each other and they're fighting each other, there's no peace. They're not unified. So what he's saying here is seek to be at peace. Seek to be unified, not in opposition to. If people are in opposition to you, that's one thing. But for us to be in opposition to them is another. We are to pursue peace. Verse 12 tells us the reason why. Here's the principle. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You say, well, that's every Christian. Yes, only a Christian can be righteous. But in this sense, we have been made right. We are dressed in the righteousness of Christ, but the word righteous itself means to be right with someone, to line up with someone. It's a judicial term that means to be right with the law, to be right with the Lord's laws, His will, His purpose. So as I pray and I'm lined up with His will and I'm not involved in payback, but I'm seeking peace, I'm turning from the evil and doing the good. It says the Lord, the eyes of the Lord will be upon the righteous and His ears unto, turn toward their petition. Remember in verse 7, it talked about the husbands. That if the husbands are mistreating and abusing the wife and not holding them in relationship as God's word says, first of all, the physical principle is that she is the weaker, not weak, but weaker. We're all weak vessels physically, but the women are the weaker vessel. Therefore, he's not to take advantage of that, be abusive. And secondly, that she is to be considered an equal or co-inheritor of the grace of life. So we're all the same spiritually. We're all equal, not one above another. Yet at the same time, in the human realm, we have different functions. But just because a person might be in a position and function of authority or leadership, it doesn't mean that that person abuses everybody under them. It says in verse 7 that husbands are to not be this way so that their prayers will not be hindered, cut off. But when we come before God and we're abusing and mistreating the people under us, God says, I'm not even going to listen. I'm going to hear from you, not until you're right. When your heart's right, I'll listen. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are toward their petition. But the face of the Lord is against doing evil. Literal translation. Against doing evil. Again, the word doing is a present participle. And the word evil is not poneros, satanic evil. It means causing adversity, causing injustice, causing harm toward other people. The reason why Peter is quoting this is because every human being falls into this category. If you're doing other human beings harm, especially through verbal abuse, because that's the big emphasis in the Bible, or attitude abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, causing adversity and difficulty for other people. The Bible says that even though we're children of God, or especially since we are children of God, He will come against us. It was God's big complaint and indictment against the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Many people believe that God sent them into judgment because they failed to keep the Sabbath day. That's only one thing. The other thing in their indictment is that they took advantage of and abused the poor and the widows, people who couldn't defend themselves, those who were physically weaker. Judges took their property against them. The judges ruled in favor of the rich rather than the poor because the rich were more influential, had the money. God brought judgment upon them. The Lord does not look kindly upon any human being, whether saved or unsaved, that abuse other people. He will deal with that person. We are not immune just because we're saved. As a matter of fact, God looks at it and says, this is my will for every person's life, but the unsaved, they're going to be destructive because they're not saved. But not you. What we tell our kids when they see other kids playing in the neighborhood. In fact, there was a place, as you go down the main Fox and Canyon Road on the right-hand side, there's a place that's for sale. The modular. Well, the people had to vacate it, and the kids just went down there and just totally destroyed the place. Broken windows and doors and inside and outside. So when our daughter comes and says, can I go play with the kids? No. Mm-hmm. What's that big club for? You know, it's oh, we're just going to play club or something. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we watch who our kids play with. We watch who our kids hang around. We watch the influence. God does the same thing. He watches how the world influences us. He watches how the people of the world influence us. And it's a constant reminder to us that we are God's children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just in church, but outside of church. We are not of the world, we're of Christ. But we're in the world, and God's dealing with us to function in an administrative system and in a family that belongs to God. Next week we will continue. But just know that the basic principles that Peter is setting down, he's telling believers this. You'd think that the believers would say, well, this should be for the non-believer. They should be reaping what they've sown. Well, this is for everybody. This is for everybody. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for another time in your word where you speak to our hearts and our minds as your children. We pray that you will give us understanding so that we will know what we are to be and what we are to do under the influence of your Spirit. We are to seek you and to seek peace and seek peace with you and with others. We are to seek to be right with you in all things and our dealings in this world and with other people. Because we are dictating to you what you must do with us. As you have said, do unto others, you have them do unto you. There's a basic principle in life. How we treat others is how we will be treated by you, because that's how we're expressing ourselves as to how people should be treated. When we're abusing others, mentally, physically, verbally, you will be against us in judgment. You will bring us down hard because we are your children. We thank you that you are our Father. And even though discipline is not a joyous thing to go through, we know that you do it out of love. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.